The word of God given to us today is Acts 18, verses 1 to 4. Allow me to read the text. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Amen. Last year in March, I received a letter from World Vision, an international relief and development organization. In commemoration of its 10th anniversary of its founding, CBS TV, together with World Vision, was preparing a program entitled Global Happiness Sharing Program, Heal the World, and they asked me whether I would be willing to appear on their program. They proposed that I accompany people from World Vision and CBS TV to go to Rwanda in Africa so that Korean Christians may share their love with the children of Africa who are suffering from hunger and disease. I had, at that time, visited African countries in the past. The first country I visited on the African continent was Egypt, located in the northeastern corner of Africa. The purpose of my visit was to see the Holy Land. The second country I visited was Morocco, located in northwest Africa. I went to Morocco in order to participate in a church gathering. And the third country I visited was South Africa, located on the most southernmost point on the African continent. The purpose of my trip was to visit the poor areas of South Africa where Myeongsoo Ko was doing missionary work. Thus, I had ended up visiting the three triangular points of the African continent. Compared to these countries, Rwanda, an inland country, had experienced tragedy with 800,000 to 1 million people being killed in ethnic unrest within a matter of just 3 months in 1994. It would, without a doubt, be meaningful to visit this country that was still scarred by the devastation of civil war and massacre and share in their suffering in the name of the Lord. However, I could not readily accept World Vision's proposal for three reasons. First, as I just mentioned, having visited Africa three times before, I knew all too well how far Africa was from Korea. To go to Africa from Korea, it would require a long, very long flight time. I question whether my poor health would allow me to make such a journey. My second reason was that because the flight schedule would only allow me to leave on a Sunday night and return to Seoul on Saturday, I would not be able to deliver my Sunday sermon. The last and most important reason for wanting to decline was that my visit would be aired on a CBS TV program. Would it not be meaningful to be able to personally visit this tragic country where our distant neighbors are suffering and be able to share God's love with them? But if my visit to Wanda was to be aired on TV, this would be contrary to my ministry philosophy, which is to quietly do the work given to me by God without making myself known. When I initially decided that I could not accept this proposal for such reasons, my fellow workers, including our pastoral staff and members of our congregation, all urged me that I should visit Rwanda. In order to share God's love with our neighbors, our church uses 50% of all contributions that it receives to help neighbors outside the church, and this includes our neighbors living in Africa. And that is why they said I should think of this as a duty given to this church by God, which was to visit Rwanda as planned by World Vision and CBS TV in order to allow Korean Christians to share God's love with the children of Africa who are suffering from hunger and disease. That is why on June 11th of last year, together with staff members of World Vision and CBS TV, I departed for Rwanda. After arriving in Rwanda, I entered into a sponsorship relationship with two children during my four-day stay. An individual sponsorship involving a contribution of 30,000 won per month under the World Vision program allows one child to be provided with food and education. The first child who lived in an isolated village in the hills is a 10-year-old named Jean-Pierre. Jean-Pierre's father, Jean-Pierre, was someone who had lost his wife and children during the 1994 massacre. He still has a scar on his face from having part of his nose cut off at that time. This was the way his would-be killers marked people designated for death. During the night of the day when his part of his nose was cut off, Jean-Pierre fled from the village together with his wife and children and went to a ferry crossing at a nearby lake. He wanted to take a boat to an island located within the lake to hide in a forest on the island. However, they were pursued and caught at the ferry crossing, and Jean-Pierre had to witness the slaughtering of his wife and children in front of him. Jean-Pierre miraculously survived and fled to Uganda. After the Civil War, Jean-Pierre returned to Rwanda and married Germaine, a younger woman by 20 years, who had also lost all her family during the war. They had three children, of whom the eldest was Jean-Pierre, and the youngest was a one-year-old baby. Although the 50-year-old Jean-Pierre was the head of his family, because of his illness, he was unable to make a living. And that is why his wife, Germaine, provided for the family by working in a tiny field while carrying her child on her back. And because very little was harvested, despite her efforts, the three children and husband barely survived on one meal a day. When I asked the couple what could be done to ensure that the family would have 3 meals to eat every day, the husband answered that all that was needed was one dairy cow. He said that although he is not healthy, he could still work the fields with a cow and grow beans. And he could also sell the milk from the cow. He said these things only because I asked him this question. Otherwise, he could not even imagine owning a cow. Through a local staff member of World Vision, I learned that a dairy cow would cost $1,400. However, because a person can make only $1 a day by working on a farm, and it is even difficult to find such work for someone living in the poor areas of Wanda, $1,400 was an astronomically large amount. When I promised this couple that the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church would purchase a cow for them, they were greatly thrilled and moved by this offer of a gift from God, which they could not have even imagined possible. The 30-year-old Germain confessed as follows. 4 years ago, God promised that He would end my despair. But as time went by, I began to lose hope. It was as if Satan was laughing at me for wishing something like that, although I was undeserving. However, I see now that God has answered in this way. After a visit to Jean-Pierre's house, in order to return to our lodgings, as we walked back to the entrance of the village where we had parked our car, we noticed that a large crowd had gathered to see an automobile, an Asian's, for the first time in their lives. I also saw Jean-Pierre, with whom we had just departed, and who appeared to have changed into new clothes, running very quickly, without even glancing at us, on a path leaving the village. I thought to myself that something very urgent must have occurred. After the CBS TV staff completed its filming at the entrance of the village, we made our farewells with each person who had gathered there and departed for our lodgings. Quite far from the village we had just left, we found Jean-Pierre, who had just ran past us, looking towards us. When we stopped our car, he put his head through the window, held my hand tightly, and without saying a word, just smiled. Although he could not express himself in words because of the language barrier, in order to show his sincere gratitude, he had changed into new clothes and had run ahead of us to wait for us at that spot. In his own way, this was the best way for him to bid me farewell. I know that when I think about Africa in the future, I will always remember that smiling face and thankful eyes. The second child I decided to sponsor was a child named Vestine, who lives in the Birinjiro district. Bestine, who is 9 years old, lives in a family of five, including her parents and two younger siblings. Like Jean-Vier's family, Vestine and her family live in destitution and hunger. What was even more heartbreaking was that she had a tumor as large as a fist growing in the middle of her head. This tumor, which was very small when she was born, had grown and was now as large as a fist. Because of the pain from the tumor, the girl had difficulty sleeping at night. Also, the children in the village made fun of her, and so she avoided going outdoors. Even though we were with her for some time, we could see that she did not smile. Although Vestine's tumor continued to grow, her parents could not even think about taking her to a hospital. As they did not even have the means to regularly eat meals, they could not afford to take her to a hospital. Vestine's father, Pascal, stated that if the tumor on Vestine's head could be removed so that Vestine would look like a normal child, he would go to church on his own and testify to how God saved his daughter. We took Vestine and her mother, Josephine, in a car to a nearby medical facility. For both Vestine and Josephine, it was their first time riding in a car and going to a hospital. Riding a car for the first time in her life, Josephine unfortunately experienced car sickness. The doctor who saw Vestine said that if left untreated, the tumor would lead to death, and that Vestine therefore should be taken immediately to a bigger hospital for an operation. That is why I asked the staff members of World Vision to make the necessary arrangements so that Vestine could receive an operation at a bigger hospital, and that our church would pay all of her medical expenses. Imagine how I felt as I returned to Korea after having become a sponsor to these children. It took me 20 hours from Korea to get to Wanda, located on the opposite side of the world, including flight time and transit time at the Doha Airport in Qatar. On our way back, from the time we departed from Birinjiro by car to get to Kigali Airport, and until we arrived at Incheon Airport, it took 22 hours and 30 minutes, including flight time and transit time. So altogether, 42 hours. It took me 42 hours to go and return to Korea. I did not go on this trip alone. As I mentioned, a total of five people, including two from CBS TV and two members from World Vision, accompanied me on the trip. From an efficiency standpoint, it would appear to have been very inefficient that five people spent 6 days on a long journey to visit the families of only two children. Isn't it clearly a failure from an efficiency standpoint when you consider the investment in terms of the manpower, money, and time expended by five people over a period of 6 days? Does this mean I returned home feeling like a loser? No, on the contrary. My visit to Wanda was never my own plan. I had never even imagined going on a trip to Wanda. When I first received the letter from World Vision, I did not think this was something I would do, as it appeared to be inconsistent with my ministry philosophy. Despite this, God selected this church and me to be used as His pathway to offer His hand to two children on the opposite side of the world in Rwanda. The Center for World Mission published the World Mission Statistics 2013 this year. According to this publication, of the 7.1 billion people living on Earth, there are 2.35 billion Christians worldwide, including Catholics, Protestants, members of the Eastern churches, and all denominations. Of these Christians, 562 million live in Europe, and 509 million live in Africa. This means there are 1,071,000,000 Christians in Europe and Africa. But in order to save Jean-Pierre's family, who survived barely on one meal per day, because Jean-Pierre's father, a victim of the Civil War, suffers from serious health problems. And in order to heal the 9-year-old Vestine, who suffers from a malignant tumor on her head, of these great many Christians around the world, for this purpose, our church and me were chosen. That is why, as I was returning from Rwanda, I could not but experience an overflow of feelings of gratitude and praise for the Lord for using our church and me as His pathway. As I mentioned last hour, it was the same feeling of gratitude that Pastor Jung felt when he was chosen by God to serve as His pathway to heal a young man who was suffering from serious depression and who had tried to commit suicide. After we left, the local World Vision staff member purchased a good dairy cow that was pregnant, together with her calf, for Jean-Pierre's family. So, in addition to the mother cow, there was a calf, and also the dairy cow had been pregnant. So all together, Jean-Pierre's family would have 3 cows. Are we not all filled with thankfulness just by thinking that Jean-Pierre's family of 5 may now be able to eat 3 meals a day? Also, I received a picture of Vestine after she had her tumor removed. It was a picture of Vestine with a bright smile on her face. the 9-year-old Vestine. Her life had changed after the operation. Is this not something to be thankful for? If despite our errors and transgressions, we are used as God's pathway in this way to help two children living on the opposite side of the world, would we not pour ourselves out even more for the Lord? In the days past, when I was young, I used to think I knew quite a bit. But as I became older, I realized more and more each day that there are so many things I do not know, and that I am imperfect in so many ways. And that is why I cannot but rely even more on the Lord who uses me and offer myself even more to the Lord. Verse 1 of Acts 18, which you reread today, begins with the following. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Aquila. Although Paul delivered the gospel in the synagogues of Athens and in Agora and Areopagus, only a few accepted the Lord. Unlike in other cities, no repentance or change of heart occurred in large numbers, even though Paul did his best to spread the gospel. But as we saw last week, Paul did not become discouraged or driven to despair by concluding that his efforts had failed in Athens. If he had, Paul, being weary in both mind and body, would have returned to Antioch of Syria from where he had started his journey. Instead, even before his fellow workers Silas and Timothy arrived in Macedonia, Paul left Athens by himself and went to Corinth. This was in order for Paul to offer himself even more wholeheartedly to the Lord's guidance and express his thankfulness for choosing Paul, who had been living on the Asian continent, to be the Lord's pathway to save a few people living on the European continent. I will explain in more detail next week, but Corinth, the capital of Achaia, a province of the Roman Empire, was a seedy, decadent city 2,000 years ago. There is a biblical clue as to why Paul believed that it was God's will that he go to Corinth. As we saw last week, of the few people that accepted the Lord through Paul, the only persons named are Dionysius of Areopagus, and also another woman, Damaris, in Acts 17, verse 34. But after this, in one of Paul's letters to the believers in Corinth, specifically 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, another name is presented. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Paul referred to Stephanas, a model Christian, as the first convert in Achaia. This means that Stephanus was the first person in the province of Achaia to accept the Lord. After arriving in Achaia, the first place where Paul preached the gospel was Athens, which we studied the past 10 weeks. The first ones in Athens who accepted the Lord were not Dionysius or Damaris, but was Stephanus of Corinth. We do not know why Stephanus of Corinth was staying in Athens at that time. However, while visiting Athens, Stephanus heard Paul's sermon and accepted the Lord, and thereby became the first Christian in the Roman province of Achaia. Also, it is only obvious that upon hearing about the decadence of Corinth from Stephanus, Paul accepted this as a sign that God was guiding him to Corinth. We learn a very important fact here. From the perspective of Stephanus, who by chance had been visiting Athens, where he heard Paul's sermon, and as a result became the first Christian in the province of Achaia, from his perspective, Paul, who came from the Asian continent to Athens on the European continent to deliver the gospel, was a gift from God sent to save Stephanus. But from Paul's perspective, it is an entirely different story. Athens was located at a distance of 4 days by foot from Corinth. Stephanus of Corinth became a Christian as a result of hearing Paul's sermon while in Athens by chance. And Paul, through his meeting with Stephanus, was guided to Corinth to spread the gospel. And the letter he wrote to the believers in Corinth after his visit there became part of the New Testament as 2 Corinthians. That is not all. As I mentioned 22 weeks ago, it was because he had visited Corinth at that time that he became to have a sense of duty to deliver the gospel to Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire across the Adriatic Sea. Thus, from Paul's perspective, Stephanus of Corinth, whom he met in Athens, was truly God's gift to Paul, who enabled Paul to continue being used as God's pathway. No doubt, Paul was filled with gratitude and praise for the Lord as he was on his way to Corinth. John Viar's family and Vestine's family, who live in Rwanda on the African continent, will probably think of me, who came from the Asian continent, as God's gift to them. However, from my perspective, the opposite is true. These families are truly God's precious gift to me, and through them, I realize that despite my faults and weaknesses, God uses me as His pathway. My dear brothers and sisters, are you offering your hand to a person in need? If so, no matter what, do not fall into the temptation of wanting to be appreciated by that person. As soon as one desires to become appreciated as someone's benefactor, the good deed becomes only an act of conceitedness and has nothing to do with God. Thank God for allowing us to realize that a person in need of our help is God's gift to us and an indication that we are being used as God's pathway. The unimaginable will of God will continue to be realized through our lives. That is because the God that guided Paul from Athens to Corinth on the European continent is also our God. Let us pray. Until now, I thought of only those who offered me help as God's gift to me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to realize that those who are in need of our help are actually God's gift to us. Let us not forget that when we receive help from others, it is evidence of God taking care of us, and the fact that there is someone to help is evidence that we are being used by God as His pathway. Let us always remember that in order to become a mature Christian who is able to realize God's will, we must not seek a life only of comfort under God's grace, but must be used as God's pathway, and that only by being God's pathway can we live within God's grace and love. And in this way, as God's love and life began to appear on the European continent through Paul of the Asian continent, let our lives be weaved into the Philippians, Thessalonians, and Corinthians of this age. We pray in the name of Jesus, amen.